today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
I say right away, it's a win.
Yeah.
Yes. That Jimmy didn't slam into the overpass, that he had the presence of mind to say, that looks a little low for me.
Do you think he stops? And mind you, it's rush hour, so you're like creeping up to it, I imagine.
Sure.
And then he parks. Like, he stops and puts the car.
He stops.
He stops in the middle
of the road.
He has to.
But then
he looks back at his wonderful family and says, it'll be okay.
This was the quote from Jimmy to me. He said, if you were in this RV, you would have removed my head from my torso.
Everything you said is absolutely correct, except you forgot we had a big Buffalo Bills flag hanging off the back of the RV.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store, and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
As many of you know, James Tiberius Cerrito is a very good friend of mine, very dear friend, been my friend for an extremely long time. And Jimmy is the always on. He's always doing something. He's always going somewhere. A simple pandemic will not keep Jimmy Cerrito down. So Jimmy decided that during these tough times, he can't do his usual, you know, go to concerts, which he loves, go to crowded bars, which he loves. He social distances at his own watering hole, but he doesn't like spending a lot of time there.
Some people think he runs away from his establishment.
He does. And he always has. So, but I would too. If I had been doing it as long and successfully as he had, I'd be out of there. So Jimmy decides to take a road trip. I didn't know any of this until the weekend.
Okay.
And or last week. James Tiberius Cerrito decides that he is going to rent a recreational vehicle like we did when we went to Iowa. And Jimmy is going to put his lovely wife, Maureen, and his daughter, Kelsey.
Do you mean Maureen Donahue Cerrito, Mike?
Maureen Donahue Cerrito into an RV. And as opposed to going south, which many people might do, tell me about it, during the fall, winter months, he's going to go north during the fall and winter months.
Uh-huh.
And a road trip to my stomping grounds, New England. Which is a very wonderful time of year to go visit New England. I tell a lot of people, if you get a chance to go in the fall, it's beautiful. If you go early fall, you get the colors.
It's just gorgeous.
But anytime, it's just New England-y, it's crisp air, and it's delightful, really. So, Jimmy, I spent a lot of time on the golf course, shocker,
right,
during my vacation. Managed to take my game from what was respectable to totally disrespectable in a week's time.
Oh,
and it's because I did it too much. And that's it.
Oh.
But I'll get to that later. There's some wonderful golf stuff that'll bore the non-golfers. But for those of you that like a good heart tugger, stay tuned to the show.
Oh, can't
because
wait.
It's really sweet. So, anyway, getting back to Jimmy. So I'm teeing off early, like 8:30, 8:41, 8:45, something like that. And early on in the round, the phone rings, and it's Jimmy. And for those of you that might not know golfers, calling somebody when they're on a golf course, you have no idea. It's not up to anybody, friends, family, business associates, to know when someone's on the golf course.
Right.
But we don't like it. We don't like you when you do it, and it has nothing to do. It's completely unfair. I had a guy literally say it to me last week. God, I hate it when somebody calls me when I'm out of here. Yeah, well, I get that. I understand that. So I see it's Jimmy, and I can't answer the phone. But I see, you know, Jimmy Cerrito. I know he's on a vacation of some kind, and he's going to tell me a little chilly.
I'm
in Boston with the family park.
He's not seeing Ozzy, that's for sure.
Does the phone ring or does it vibrate when you're on the course?
Okay, it vibrates.
You feel it.
Occasionally I'll forget, and I leave the, you know, Carla says, why do you always have your phone on silent?
Mm.
I said, I have my phone on silent because I do a radio show and then I play golf.
Yeah.
Those are the two activities I do all the time. And it's always better to have it on silent.
So it's okay. actually respectful to both the broadcast and the game.
Yes.
Right. And of course, Carla says to me after that, whatever. So anyway, that's a
because
that's
she
that
doesn't understand respect.
Right. Exactly. Damn it.
That's the number one faux pas, right? That your phone goes off in the middle of a game.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like Michael got invited to a Halloween party this coming Saturday night. And I said, indoors or outdoors? And she looks at me and she goes, I don't know. Oh, and I really want to look back and go,
that's tough.
I'm going to die.
Yeah.
I'm going to die. You know what I mean?
Maybe I'll dress up as a Surge.
Right, right. Let's go. Well, let's go to the meter. I want to see. Please show me cases in Florida, please. Can I see them again, please?
This is
cases in Florida.
The graphic is actually a Garbage Pail Kid. There used to be a Garbage Pail Kid called Adam Bomb, and his head was exploded.
Yeah.
That's what it is. That's
what it the is. The top Halloween costume this year, Mike, is actually called Third Spike. And it's,
yes.
it's
I get it. So Jimmy's with his daughter and his wife, and they're traveling in an RV. And Jimmy, look, he's probably a little bored, right?
Hell yeah.
Who wouldn't be?
Yeah.
So he's got to share. That. By the way, anybody who shares, they're bored.
Yes.
They're bored with their life.
Don't you want people like that in your life? I love people that call me and tell me things I don't care about. Like, it is
a
nice distraction.
There's one thing Jimmy leaves me. I'm glad you mentioned that, Oscar, because Jimmy leaves me a voicemail. And the voicemail consists of, this is what gets me excited.
Mm-hmm. All right.
He says, hey, it's over here in your neck of the woods up in New England. And listen. There's a story I have to share with you that you have to call me at some point today. Never do I get one like that from Jimmy. That raises the excitement level.
So it was a radio value-added teaser. It's like, we've got something you got to know, and it's coming
Jimmy
up after the break.
Jimmy knows me. I mean, Jimmy and I have traveled together.
Sure.
And we've taken long bike trips, so he knows exactly. He's not going to do that. That it isn't special. So I'd seen a couple of posts where Jimmy's outside of Fenway, and Jimmy goes to every city, and as opposed to going to that city and finding a landmark or a great local place to hang out, he wants to find a Buffalo bar where they can watch the Buffalo Bills game. She did in Las Vegas, and we met him there, by the way.
Had
the last
time
we did a live show in Las Vegas.
There was a low-level celebrity at the bar. Who was it at the Buffalo
Michael
bar?
John Bobbitt.
Oh, that's right.
That's who it was.
John Bobbitt.
Yeah. Hey, guess who's here?
Right. And so Jimmy, you know, I've seen this, and I love Kelsey. She's so energetic,
yes.
And she's like... She's like smart Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
She's like got her act together, yeah. Jimmy. Right? She's
witty,
she's got
quick,
all the great traits of Jimmy. Mm-hmm. But you
she's
know,
actually
you could,
at the bar occasionally. She's smart, yeah. Jimmy. Yeah.
No, Kelsey can handle it. That's why people take Kelsey on like a sailboat.
Yeah.
Trip,
on a catamaran in the middle of the ocean.
You don't do that unless somebody
has
is
her ass
a little,
together.
Even if it's a family thing, a little vetting. So Jimmy. I get done and I forgot that he wanted me to call him till later in the afternoon. I called Jimmy up and he's like, hello. And I'm like, hey, Jimmy, how are you? How you doing? Hey, oh boy, we're in Portland, Maine. And I'm like, and he said, and I went to your place, Biggie's Diner. There was an hour long wait. The optimistic fatalist, right? Where he said, man, it was fantastic. An hour wait. And I said, okay, I know there was a wait, Jimmy. Did you like the food? Oh, it was fantastic. And we're going up to Barry Harvey.
Oh,
I said,
nice.
Oh, Jimmy, you're going way up to, and he'd already texted her. I called and given him my list of places to go and things to do up there. And I will, first of all, we should probably get Jimmy on the show sometime this week.
Right.
So he can fill in the details. But I'm going to give you the broad brush strokes, and then we will perhaps later in the week get an eyewitness account of exactly what happened. This is the way I understand the story. Jimmy is in the middle of Boston, and I guess they decide to, after their day of looking at Fenway Park and going to Cheers, which is what the Tourons do in Boston.
The Jimmy Bull and decides, Finch pub, that bar that's the... Yeah.
I think it's Bull and Finch, yeah. I think it's a nice neighborhood, too.
Yeah.
And I think... So Jimmy decides that they're going to get these things done, and then they're going to venture out in Boston on a Friday at rush hour. which is really, let me explain for those of you around the country. Every big city has traffic. Every big city has rush hour. In places like Chicago, New York, Boston, rush hours are not only the gridlock, but a level of intensity that some of the smaller cities around the country don't experience.
The word is hostility.
Hostility would be.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And I would say in New York, how would I describe the difference between New York and Boston? In New York, they're going to run you over and keep going. Mm-hmm. They're going to kill you, and then you're done. But there's not the exuberant amount of interpersonal discourse that you would get in New York compared to Boston. Boston is very vocal, very, you know, very kind of, you know, you're in my way, and they'll let you know. The windows go down in Boston a lot. Probably does New York, too. But anyway, so Jimmy is at rush hour. And Jimmy, Ed Boreen, and Kelsey are all in the RV together, and they're doing what we all do nowadays when we're driving somewhere we don't know. We're listening to our navigation. We're listening to the pretty lady's voice who is going to tell us where to go.
So, right.
The way,
oh my God.
The way Jimmy explains it to me is that they listen to the voice to take a turn to get to wherever they're going to. I assume they're going north, or they're going to, you know, some park or Arby. I don't know what they're leaving Boston.
A Walmart parking lot outside of Boston.
Who knows?
That's why
we have Jimmy Walmart on the story. Because I'll be honest with you, I am not long on details. I just know the general broad strokes of the story. So Jimmy decides he takes this exit ramp, and at this point, it's dark, and Jimmy goes down this exit ramp, listening to the navigation. And apparently, they listened to the navigation, they did not look at the road sign. And the road sign had an indicator on it of what they show for trucks, which is clearance 10 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And they get on this highway, and Jimmy, a very short time after they get on this road, which Jimmy explained to me, had lanes coming in both directions with a Jersey wall and no shoulder. A typical city stuff, like the kind of roads, boys, you would get around the George Washington Bridge.
Yeah,
you know,
sure,
no room for no margin for error
drama.
There. You get going, go forward, and Jimmy stops just short of an overpass that would have taken the top off of his RV.
Oh my God!
And Jimmy is on the wrong road. And I think the way Jimmy explained it, maybe a two-lane road with no shoulder, and Jimmy stops in the dark at rush hour.
Mortifying.
Let the horns begin.
What would you give for two pieces of footage? First of all, video of the people realizing there's an RV stopped in the middle of this highway, but better, video of the quarter mile of Jimmy driving as he approaches this overpass, realizing that he's, I don't know, it looks kind of low, better brakes.
He stopped.
I say right away, it's a win that Jimmy didn't slam into the overpass, that he had the presence of mind to say, that looks a little low for me.
Do you think he stops? And mind you, it's rush hour, so you're like creeping up to it, I imagine.
Sure.
And then he parks, he stops and puts
the RV in the middle of the road.
He has to.
He has
but then
choice.
He looks back at his wonderful family and says, it'll be okay.
This was the quote from Jimmy to me. He said, if you were in this RV, you would have removed my head from my torso.
That is great.
And that is a way that he paints the picture where it's just Jimmy goes into goofy land.
Yeah.
He goes into goofydom. But Jimmy's fearless. Jimmy will do whatever. So here she comes to the rescue, Kelsey Cerrito.
Mm-hmm.
His daughter,
at one point, I think I may have asked Jimmy, what was Maureen doing? You know, probably just sitting in the back of the RV going, oh, my God. But
organizing the coloring book. She was back there.
So, you know, after Jimmy tells me that they're getting beeped at on both sides, I guess the people coming at them going, you're in the wrong road, you damn idiot. I've done it before with a boat. and got off the exit very quickly because I realized somebody beeped at me and waved me down. Jimmy is on this thing where he will destroy his rented recreational vehicle if he goes any further. So my first question, and even when he tells me the first, well, how in the name of God could you extricate yourself from this situation? Aha. Shortly before they got to this overpass, in fact, almost right there, was another on-ramp. At this point, the heroine of this story, as I understand it, Kelsey Cerrito, gets out of the RV and begins to walk up to the on-ramp, which, thank God, is not being utilized by many cars. That's the only way, I guess, it could have happened. But Kelsey goes up to the top of the on-ramp, and the way I understand it, with people going, F you, what the F are you doing? Mm-hmm. Has the presence of mind, and now she said, I think she said she may have been laughing when this was going on, because Kelsey knows her father's goofy. Yeah. She stops the traffic at the top, at the intersection of the top of the on-ramp.
Wow.
Where cars are coming from every different direction.
That type of...
Gutsy.
Guts and foresight.
Absolutely.
That's a real woman right there.
It's an absolute... It's
congratulations.
A person that's why they took her... That's why they took her on that ocean-going voyage, because she's a can-do person. She's somebody who's fearless. I've always liked her.
Not a watcher.
How many people, male, female, whatever, would be sitting there screaming,
mortified,
yelling,
dialing 911?
I would probably be mortified be to get out of
the Well, I mean, the RV has a couch and a bed. I'm surprised they just didn't stay there. They could still be there. I mean, they've got a fridge.
Rush hour was over.
Right. Now, ladies and gentlemen of the jury that listened to this program, I must tell you that the three gentlemen on this particular podcast would fall into the category of problem solvers that would probably make an effort to rectify the situation like Kelsey. There are others that we have worked with over the years that might not necessarily do anything of the kind. Just kind of sit and shake their
I would hope I had road flares or cones or something. But if she did it on her own, that's amazing.
There's the detail we could get from Jimmy.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say 100% not.
Probably not.
That's just a guess.
Yeah.
So Jimmy begins the process of I don't know the length of the RV. I've seen a picture of it. It's not small. Of backing the RV up the on ramp. To get back over. The only other part, and he makes it successfully, Kelsey saving the day, and then it's on to Maine, where they were Saturday or Sunday. I think Saturday afternoon they were in Maine.
All right.
And Kelsey saves the day. Jimmy said, and Jimmy doesn't let people know this, Jimmy said they were all so stressed that they pulled over. We pulled over into a park just to sit for a while. because he was so
that's like something a mental patient would do. I just need to sit in a park for a while, stare at the birds.
So I don't really know. I don't really know, you know, what the details are with this particular story. But you know what? Let's get him on the phone. We have time.
All right.
Why not start the week?
Send the phone to Maddie, please.
Why not start the week running late? I don't care. I don't want to do 2 days.
That'll give you 5 days to catch up, Mike. You'll be fine.
I don't want to do. I never thought I'd come back from a week off and have Jimmy on the show first thing. But I'm going to do that. And I just and we've got his number, so we can call him.
I'm sending it to Maddie right now.
Matt's pulling up now. Mike, do you remember how long our RV was when we went to Iowa?
We had one of the big ones. Aren't they called Class A?
Class A? Strong. Nice recall.
We had a Class A, which is the kind that looks like a bus, like a little version. His is not a bus. His might be a Class B.
But
we could get all the
what I remember about ours is that when you parked it, you could like crank it and make it wider. It would like extend, like the sofa compartment would go out and the bed would go out.
You could put a wing out.
Yeah,
you press a button
exactly.
And a wing, and most of them are like that now. And you know, by the way, though, from my knowledge of RVs, they're really plywood. They're plywood with a thin sheet of aluminum on the outside. That's what they are. That's
why
when
garbage.
They are. They're not. I don't think they're made to withstand, a bomb blast or anything.
Oh
like
no!
Well, remember we broke into one in South Bend, Indiana.
Hello.
Good morning.
Oh, there we go.
Oh boy.
Okay. I had to lead with you today. I had to lead the show with you today. I'm going to give you the bullet points, and then we only keep you if you have 5 minutes just to fill in the blanks on the details. You're in Boston at rush hour. It's dark. You get on. You're listening to your navigation, and you get on a highway, and you don't realize that it's got a height limit, and you almost run your RV into an overpass, and then Kelsey gets out, and you find an on-ramp, and you back up your RV on an on-ramp, and that's all I had. And then she saved the day. Kelsey saved the day, correct?
Absolutely, yes. You're doing well. And with all that...
Were you saying that to Kelsey?
No, to you. You're doing great.
Okay. Oh, I thought he was affirming himself.
Yeah,
there.
I was like, all right.
Are you in Maine right now, Jimmy? Are you in Maine?
Yeah, we're at the Looking Glass overlooking Baja.
Oh, okay. Nice.
All right. That's good to hear. So,
good accent.
Everything,
good
hear. Mike, we tried to go this way, but they're closed. Said is absolutely correct, except you forgot we had a big Buffalo Bills flag hanging off the back of the RV.
Which the Patriot fans really like.
Yeah, of course.
They really like that. That's good. So healthy. You are... You're listening to your nav, and would there have been a sign that said height limit, trucks beware, or a big sign that said, is that what you missed?
I don't know. I'm kind of losing my eyesight a little with my old age, and I may or may not have had a couple of beers.
No, you did here. Not. You did not
no,
have beers.
No, you didn't when you're driving an RV. You didn't.
Jimmy.
Oh, God. Jimmy. So,
Mike, it said turn left. And I turn left. Marine's in the back, like reading a book or looking at her iPad. Kelsey's with me talking my ear off about her friends in Colorado or something. I have no idea. And I got Siri. I got the GPS kind of down on my lap because I couldn't get it on the dashboard. And I'm looking up, and it says turn left. And I turn left. And as soon as I turn left, there was this height marker right above the camper. And it just hit the front of us and dragged right across the top of the camper. And Maureen says, "What was that noise?" You know, it's like,
"Oh, I didn't know that you." So you had the height. They had a little sign to like warn you about that.
Yeah. So
and you kept going.
Well, I knew I was going under that marker and it hit, and I go, "That was a height marker, and we got to get out of here. We got to turn." And there was no left turn, and there was. No right turn. It was too damn late. There was nowhere to get out of there.
And so you go down.
Before that.
Oh, see, I thought you just had cat-like reflexes and came up on the overpass. You'd already been.
This makes so
warned.
Much more sense.
Yeah, I was like, this is the Jimmy I know.
So now we're going down a hill, like down a ramp, and we're in the left lane, and there's a right lane merging. And so we go into the merge. And there's a tunnel on the left, and it's 10 feet. We're 12 and a half, and Kelsey says, "Do not go left." Okay, so I veer to the right, and we're cruising, and that's 12 feet. We're 12 and a half. And I just slow down, stop right in the middle of the highway, turn my flashers on, and sit there while, I don't know, it seemed like a million cars came by both sides of the camper honking their horns and flipping me off.
So when
I'm screwed. Sorry, pony.
So you're 12 and a half feet. 12 feet's going to damage your vehicle.
Yeah.
And damage? Was there any damage from the initial sign that scraped over the RV?
Not that I know of. We're not allowed to go on the roof. So
yeah, so they're not going to check. No big deal.
So so you get you're in front of this tunnel that's 12 feet. Yeah. If you go in it, you're going to wreck your RV. And when did the heroine of the story, Kelsey, step in? Whose idea was it? Was it Kelsey's herself, or was it your idea to put your daughter in mortal danger and have her jump out of the RV at rush hour?
it was probably both. Like she's And she's laughing the whole time. Oh, this is awesome. This is funny. Don't worry, I got this.
That's why she's great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why she's great. That's why I love your daughter, because she's fantastic that way. So she decides she's going to jump out, and you're fortunately, you're close to another on-ramp, right?
So to back up the left where we came in, no way, because that might have been maybe 0.2 miles in the traffic.
Right.
Relentless. And there's no shoulder. There's no pulling over on the shoulder. So she gets out.
Jimmy, are you jumping around? Are you doing that thing where you're jumping around? Hold the phone steady. We got a bad signal. We got a bad connection. Yeah.
So she jumps out barefoot in her pajama bottoms. And I don't know where she goes. She just disappears. And the cars are still coming both sides. My lovely wife is now in the front seat with her head out the window yelling, Kelsey, where are you, Kelsey? And I can't see out that mirror. Marine, sit down.
The Cerritos go to Boston. Make way for ducklings.
Sorry. I had to go to that Cheers bar. So Kelsey goes, walks up the ramp from the right, you know, the passenger door, and comes back a few minutes later. All right, Dad, here's what we're going to do. Wow. I'm going to go up there and block all the traffic, and you just back up all the way up that ramp into the middle of the intersection, and then turn right and go into that parking lot. And Marine says, no, we're going to call 911. We're calling the police. And they start getting into a little bit of an argument.
Mother dog.
Oh, yeah.
Always tough.
Kelsey, get inside. Get inside. Nope. So she grabbed a little tiny pen light flashlight. When we go camping, we're prepared. And her cell phone light. And I said, call me. Call me when you get up there. So she goes up the intersection, calls
Jimmy,
me.
Hold on a second. Did the RV have any flares? Oscar asked that earlier.
Yeah, or cones.
Any flares or cones or anything like that?
Probably, but we would have had to go all the way around to the back of it and unlock that big
right.
door and look around without a light.
Yeah, so it was dark.
Right.
So let's establish that it was dark outside.
Yeah.
It was dark, and it was Friday night rush hour.
Mm.
Downtown Boston. I think it was Route 28 we were trying to get on.
Yeah.
And Kelsey got me back. She backed me up. I had to pull ahead to the right and then back up. And we had her on speakerphone, and we just heard people yelling and honking, and they were flashing their lights at her. One guy tried to get past her, and she yelled at the guy. I could hear yelling, stop right now.
Is that a citizen's arrest?
I mean, she was a hero, Jimmy. Yeah. She saved the day.
What would have happened? You know, I backed all the way up in the intersection, waved that Bill flag all over the place, and then tiptoed out of there. What would have happened if I would have called 911? Would I have been, given a ticket? Or
no, I tell you what would have happened. You would have been on Boston TV at 6:58, and they would have said... And a little bit of a surprise for the commuters on 28 tonight.
Here's the thing. I think Kelsey not only saved your bacon on this, but probably inconvenienced the commuters much less than if you had called 911.
Absolutely.
I think it was a win.
Right.
I'm good. I'm glad you appreciate her, Jimmy.
All right.
There you go.
Would we get more enthusiasm, Jimmy, if we asked you about the Cheers bar?
Well, as soon as I start getting excited, I get told I gotta calm down. So I'm trying to be right.
I know. You're fine. You're fine. Did you? I mean, she saved the day. And didn't you say you pulled over afterwards just because you all had to?
Yeah.
Like you were all in a state of shock. You had to decompress for a minute.
I don't think I've ever been in such a scary situation in my 54 years. My heart was pounding. Marine's heart was pounding. And Kelsey was laughing. We did good.
Kelsey's the hero.
Kelsey's the hero. Kelsey's fearless.
Adventure.
You know? Yeah. Oh, my God. And so you went on with your vacation. And everything's going well for you?
Yeah, well, getting out of Boston, I mean, it was when we GPS from Cheers, it was going to be 2 hours to get to Portland. It took us an hour to get out of Boston because now we had to get out of there without going in any tunnels. And that's not easy
to
do.
It's not. No, it's not. He's absolutely
right. Not in Boston. No. Not in Boston. And that's in all the guidebooks.
Any thought to take off the Buffalo flag at any moment during that process?
I thought it was great.
Go back. Enjoy your vacation, Jimmy. Take care. Thank you, buddy.
Bye,
Jimmy.
Thank you.
Love y'all.
Love you, man.
Love you too. Go Bills. Thank you, Jimmy. How's that for starting a week of shows, people? Start the show, Rob Spiewak.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Rudolph was McDonald's best buddy in whole world. Luckily, I discovered his preference for women with ample cheese-producing capacity. I take my daughter to man who can help.
Then if you like, what I would suggest is that maybe we place some breast implants.
I want a man who wants to make a sex attack on me.
Mm-hmm. I think that would be most men.
Would you make a sex attack with me?
If your father was not here.
Ew. Another ew, Borat moment. Oh.
So altogether, the total is $21,751.
How much?
$21,751.
Tenge or dollar?
Dollars.
Okay. With the saline implant?
Yes.
Could you take off some money if instead you use potatoes?
We cannot use potatoes.
Why not?
Because potatoes aren't sterile.
This is a very good potato.
But you cannot take a potato and put it in the body.
What if we allow perverts in to watch the surgery? Can we have reduction? You can keep the money that they pay you.
Absolutely not. The more people you bring in, the more germs come in. You cannot do that. The perverts have to be medical personnel. They have to be either a doctor or a nurse.
I want to make sure that the man I give her to is very happy and will not return her.
Okay.
So the quality must be tip-top, will it be?
It will be tip-top. It'll be more than tip-top. Are you able to pay this amount? Yes?
Yes, I have.
Okay, thank you.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his easy chair, here's Mike.
We are live from the Podcast Village Studios in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. The Mike O'Mara Show is back after a week of relaxation and, in Oscar's case, constant toil.
Toil.
Moving to our second location. We are expanding the Podcast Village empire. We are heard everywhere on the Mike O'Mara Show, from Two Rivers, Wisconsin, Horsey, Virginia, between Georgia.
Yes.
Where is that?
Oh, not here. It's not there.
Between. Collingswood, New Jersey, Depot Bay, Oregon, and Lisbon, Portugal. The Mike O'Mara Show is on now. Want to tell you about a great product that we are really excited about. Solo Stove. You're going to love Solo Stove. Fall is in the air, leaves are changing, and there's nothing like a roaring fire to bring you back to what matters, especially this time we're living through right now. Those fireside moments keep you grounded and remind you how to be human. Solo Stove. We all got them. I got it set up right outside, even down here in warm Florida. It's we get our cold snaps down here, and I'm looking forward to piling some wood in there and sitting around the Solo Stove. It creates the moments with stainless steel construction designed to regulate airflow and burn more efficiently. I know you've fired yours up a couple of times, Rob Spiewak.
What's really cool is my Solo Stove came with a tote bag. And we had a supper club outside over the vacation with our couples, and they needed an extra fire pit. I brought it with me. It's portable.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
You can carry it in a tote. It's fantastic. So little smoke, you'll wonder how there's so much fire, plus no campfire smell on your clothes, and nothing left but ultra-fine ash for easy cleanup. No one needs a reason to gather around the fire. Solo Stove just took away any reason not to. And now you can get $10 off when you use promo code TMOS at checkout. Just go to solostove.com. And remember, you get $10 off when you use promo code TMOS. And we thank you, Solo Stove.
Love that.
Before we continue, Jimmy was in the middle of his story when I observed, Rob Spiewak, did you suffer a gunshot wound?
No.
No, not there. The other side. The other side. Let me see.
Where?
What in the name of Jesus Christ is wrong with your arm?
Here.
Were you attacked? No, all over. You got multiple bruises.
No.
Turn
where?
The other way. You got? Don't you have it on the backside too, or what? Oh no. All right.
No.
All right.
So there it is. It's a bug bite. I scratched it. I didn't realize it bled.
Can you hold that up to the screen? Because that looks like you were attacked by some sort of monster.
There's a little blood there because I scratched it. I apologize.
Rob, do you wear insect repellent when you go to see your father at the beach?
No, I don't. I don't. But also, it was not buggy this time. I don't know how this happened. This might not be Eastern Shore bug bite. This might be a Leesburg bug bite.
But do you think it's a bug bite?
I do, because it itches and it has that sort of bug bite feel. And you absentmindedly sometimes scratch and it drew blood.
I don't, that never happens to me, actually.
Well, that Oscar must be nice.
Absentmindedly, I gash myself.
Well, hold your arm up again, because it looks like there are other wounds there or something like that. No. Just that one area?
That's a big bug bite.
Oh God. No.
Gross.
See, much better. Much better.
That's nasty.
Well, he needs a little soap and water.
It's a gusher.
I'll attend to it after the show.
How about a long sleeve shirt tomorrow, maybe, so we don't have to throw up in our mouths when we're
I'll put on some welding gloves.
Gross.
Oh my God! So that did or didn't happen on your little trip down to your dad's place.
I couldn't say it did. I couldn't say it did.
When did it start bleeding? Do you remember?
I just noticed during the read there. I looked down. I said, "Oh, what's this?"
I'm talking to Jimmy, and I look, and it looks like there's like a goiter on your elbow, and it was it's scary. It's nasty. But anyway,
a wound.
Speaking of a throw up in your mouth, we won't be able to get all of it now. I want to try to get the show back on time. The Borat movie, which was the big controversy of the week gone by with Rudy Giuliani.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say this. I think everybody, hopefully, universally would agree that the first one was the better one of the Borat films.
And I agree.
This one, it had its little moments, but it was definitely less duping people and more just cringeworthy, I thought. Cringeworthy would be the word that I would use for a lot of it.
I liked it, and I thought
the only problem,
I think it was maybe 10 minutes too long. If they had tightened it up a little bit, I don't see any full sequences coming out of it.
The cotillion was a little bit much for me. That's the only part that I didn't really get into.
You think?
Just a little bit.
But I think it's so, I mean, he's attacking subtly the things that people put so much value in, and showing how stupid they
are.
I love the faxing bit was great.
Oh, the faxing bit was great.
But hey, let me ask
the
you.
The costume store
right,
was
another
great.
Another reason I might have had a problem with the Borat movie. The faxing bit, a lot of people, no doubt, that movie, the first movie, was such a big movie. It became part of our culture and demonstrated aptly in this film when he goes to the costume store and there's a Borat costume in the costume store, which was hysterically funny. The early part, I'm starting to go, oh, this is good. I like this. And the bit. And then I threw out, much like when Oscar hipped us to the fact that all these reality shows were really not reality shows, I got the vibe that some of these people, like, for example, the man that is supposed to deliver the gift for Mike Pence, and then they put the girl back in it with nails. I thought he wasn't a stranger.
You're a smart man, right? You can suspend disbelief and just say, okay. This is clearly a movie.
But I don't like to in Borat because the whole premise of Borat is that you're supposed to at least have a plausible
even
belief
the original
that he's duping
Borat
people.
Had some fake scenes in it.
To make it have a linear plot. I read a pretty intense article about who was fooled and who wasn't and how they fooled them. In many cases, they were set up.
I'll tell you, one guy was fooled. There's no doubt about that. That's Rudy Giuliani.
Oh yeah.
I don't know. I think he came off looking pretty good.
This is why you put the mic back.
Gross.
I'm gonna lay down nasty. So you can get that microphone out. But like for example, the scene in the temple that was very set up, and they were on board with what the message was going on with the Holocaust survivors. Spoiler alert if you haven't seen it. However, the families of those subjects are not happy with him now. Most of the people, like the influencer from YouTube and the doctor that was very creepy that we played in the show open, they were sort of snowed into thinking it was a Netflix documentary. And he has got to have the most brilliant set of lawyers that prepare the release forms that get these people to sign off by saying that, yes, they'll be a part of a project, but it's not a Borat project. So there are people that really did get tricked. And
oh, so
it was,
you did a deep dive on this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so most people aren't replying.
We'll come back and talk a little more about the Borat movie, which I want to get some of the numbers from Oscars for, because I predicted it would be massive, and then I watched it. We'll take a break and come back with more fun and more thrills. This is the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody.
I saw you there.
Shall we play a game?
Attendance. Accuracy. Anger. It's all on the line, and the stakes have never been higher. Tardy, typo, temper, challenge.
The tardy, typo, temper challenge.
You can only hear it on the Mike O'Mara Show.
May the odds be ever in your favor.
Let's get it on!
Is that Mark Riddell again?
It is.
We almost had a $20 moment at the beginning of the show. Not for me.
Way to go, Twitch. Good stuff. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Ring. There are 1,000 reasons why protecting your home is important. For me, it's my family and my overall peace of mind. That's why I love Ring. We had a Ring cam that was sent out on, local website everybody's on now? Nextdoor or whatever?
Nextdoor.
It is Nextdoor.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, do they have a creep monster that was trying to break into cars. This guy, cap down here in Florida, no shirt.
That's not suspicious.
Looks like he weighed 16 pounds,
it's, you know? It's so hot.
Yeah, nasty. Ring protects every corner of your home, and you can see it all right from your phone. If someone stops by or something's going on, Ring lets you know, see, and speak to whoever's at your door from anywhere in your Ring video doorbell. You can do it. Keep an eye on everything with Ring's easy-to-install indoor and outdoor cams, and protect your whole home with a Ring Alarm, an affordable home security system that you can easily install yourself. And I am here to tell you, they don't want me to tell you this in this particular commercial, but the one I've got up in Maine, my floodlight cam, durability, thy name is Ring. It has lasted so long and been so effective. I love it. Get a special offer on the Ring Welcome Kit when you go to ring.com/TMOS. The Welcome Kit has the Ring Video Doorbell 3 and Chime Pro, the perfect way to start your Ring experience, plus free 2-day shipping. Go to ring.com/TMOS. That's ring.com/TMOS. So the big controversy in the Borat film was Rudy Giuliani meeting with the girl who is now a journalist, Borat's daughter, and it just was...
Tutar.
It was just strange. It was... was that her name?
Yeah, that was the character named Tutar, and it was weird because...
I skipped through big parts of it. I didn't like... It made me...
Rob...
It just was so cringe.
I'm shocked you liked Borat if you hated Hubie Halloween, because I finally watched Hubie Halloween, and it was effing funny. Like, it's a good movie.
Oscar, I think it's a very, very different palette, I think, about it.
No, but the humor, there's no highbrow humor. It's just different types of humor. Dumb humor. Both of them are dumb humor.
No, I think that there's a depth. There's a depth to Borat with the satire.
Depth? Yeah. What? A girl having her moon phase in the middle of a cotillion? There's depth there?
Yeah, well, what you're doing is you're just looking at it on the surface. The satire that's there about all that goes on and all that's stupid about our
course,
country right now.
He's tearing down institutions.
Get that.
And that's what he does.
Yeah, Adam Sandler doesn't do a lot of tearing down of institutions.
Well, no, but I have to mention when I'm watching that Hubie Halloween, I know when I turned it on, I sometimes late at night, as I'm drifting off, we'll fire up a movie and then I won't remember any of it because I fall asleep. So I really haven't given Hubie Halloween anything. If it's an Adam Sandler movie, doubtful that I'll like it. But getting back to Borat, I know he's like Tom Green. He's a stunter. And stunts are hard to do.
Yes.
Stunts are hard to keep fresh. And a stunt sequel movie is hard to do. And I think
I like the way he addressed the fact in the first 10 minutes of the movie that he was recognized everywhere he went in America.
That was funny. That was one of the funny parts.
Yeah, I like that.
I love that. That was actually quite funny. A lot
CPAC
of callbacks.
The CPAC bit was funny.
What's that?
The CPAC bit when he walked in there with his daughter.
And you know what? And that's really funny. Really choppily edited, like they may have dealt with some legal issues about
Hell
that.
Hell yeah.
You know?
I went back and ABC News covered that disruption at that rally, but didn't point the finger at him.
Hysterical.
Oh my God, it was funny. It was great. Yeah. And there's been leaks about this movie all along the road, but no one put it together. That's what's wild to me. I would have
been happy with a much longer time being given to the CPAC and the messing with people. Mm-hmm. I think he gets what he can out of these little pranks, and then he has to maybe go through a lot of hoops legally to get them on. And, the girl was fine, but she kind of took over the mantle from Borat in this. It was okay. It wasn't great. And then we get to the Rudy Giuliani part where she's putting her hand on his leg and kind of being seductive.
Most interviews, supposedly
a hidden camera. I don't think Rudy Giuliani would.
I give it a 2 on a scale of 5.
Okay, but let's talk about the bit with Giuliani.
Yeah.
Because most interviews, Oscar, end up with drinks in the bedroom after the interview.
There's no way that he ever wanted that to see the light of day.
No.
Of course not.
And he's a horn doggy. And he was a horn doggy when he sat down. Everything she fed him, which was designed to get him all ramped up, he took it hook, line, and sinker. I'm not talking about even the nasty stuff where he lies on the bed and it's just like, oh, my God. He was loving the schmoozing.
Oh, yeah.
He was eating it up. He's calling her dear. It was so gross. He's got those Skeletor teeth that just scare the crap out of me anyway.
Threw me, I guess because he doesn't smile a lot when he's speaking or doing most interviews. His teeth are, and I think they're real, but they're horrifying. The teeth were the most horrifying thing in the movie.
And, it was fine. I found myself just in a total state of discomfort for the whole, there were moments where I would laugh, a lot of moments where I would laugh. I'll give him credit. They're gag after gag after gag. But then there are also many moments where I'm like, oh, okay. All right. Because you look at the scene at the cotillion or the debutante party, and you're just saying to yourself, all right, I get it.
What about when they keep referring back to the manual? Like, of what man can do.
Yeah, where she's eaten by her own vagina. I mean, look, I love that he's obsessed with the anti-Semitic angle that he does. And he comes walking in to the synagogue, basically dressed like one of those old Nazi cartoons.
Yeah, exactly.
That was actually quite poignant and sweet that they ended up feeding him. And that says what about a lot of these religious organizations, the way they treat people. But it was just...
You're telling me women can own business? Women can drive car?
Yeah. Yeah. I got that. That was pounded into our heads.
What about where he quarantined with the... the Republican enthusiast.
That's the part that I fast forwarded through. I liked that
because can you imagine he had to stay in character with those guys for that whole amount of time? Yeah. And further, this is what I found funny. This was a throwaway article I read. They're getting co-writing credit for that song that he sings at the rally. So they're actually going to receive residuals from movie sales because mentioned on the soundtrack.
Well, isn't that special? I guess the only way I can describe it, gentlemen, would be I felt all kind of empty inside afterwards. I don't know. Maybe it's because we're ramping up to the election and I'm nervous about it. Anyway, it just was, I don't know. I like it when he picks on the institutions. That's fun. And when he gets like an individual family. But there are so many, like the doctor, when she goes in to get plastic surgery,
and the
doctor says, well, your father here, that's just pure creepy. The guy's like 70 years old.
Hit to cross the hall, Mike.
It was that.
No.
You know, I don't make sex jokes about me on this show that are not self-deprecating anymore. It's not appropriate. It wasn't appropriate when I turned 55. I'm not going to do it right now, you know? I mean, that would be like me going up and doing stand-up and talking about, like, banging, you know? I mean, it's
you
just not
right.
You
haven't done that in months.
I was highlighting the age disparity between Borat's daughter and the doctor.
That's what I'm talking about. Even worse when you're an old fart with a young wife, you know? It's terrible.
When the doctor said, if your father wasn't here.
You know? I know. It was he would make sexy talk God. With her. Yeah.
Wow.
And yeah, see, he's one of the ones that signed off. He knew he was being filmed. That's what blows mind.
I know we're almost at the end of this discussion. Spoiler alert. Sorry. but anyway, the thing about, boy, the, you know, the moon, was it the moon blood or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, no, the one, yes.
That was
yeah.
hysterical that he came up with that name. That's like being injected with gypsy tears.
Yes, keep you exactly. Safe.
That stupid stuff is just so fabulous. But then it's just, I don't know. I think a lot of it is, it was pretty obviously a sequel.
Yes.
And I don't like sequels anyway. I mean, that's
well,
the way
the for look, you, I always try to see or use the lens that's given to me for the product. If I would have gone to the theater, which I wasn't going to do, mm-hmm. and but maybe for whatever reason, if someone in my life, my wife was like, we got to go, I judge her,
my
but I go.
Wife.
Yeah, my wife. She would have been judged for the loss of $50 and an evening out for an okay movie.
Johnny the Monkey.
But the fact that it comes with everything else that I paid for my packages was a 10 out of 10 in my eyes. Like, that is added value.
Yeah, it was nice that it was in our home. It wasn't a game changer like the first one, because I think, like, there's something about Mary. That's a movie that when we all saw it, we said, I've never seen anything like that before.
Right.
So the cherry on this Sunday is the fact that we got to revisit a character that we once thought was really cool. I liked seeing him do the character again. I thought that was fun. I give it a 4 out of 5.
Okay. And did it do well, Oscar? Has it set records
well,
or anything
this
like
what
that?
Stuff, it's the same reason we have. What's the number one on Amazon Prime? But
right.
What are those numbers, right? What are those numbers compared to everything else?
That's true.
You never know.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And but look for a triquel, you're going to get Johnny the Monkey.
Hey.
No, the daughter ate him.
Spoiler alert.
Sorry about that. That's pretty nasty, too.
He is Kazakhstan's Secretary of Communication and leading porn star, Johnny the Monkey.
But she looked like a zombie when she got out of the crate. It was weird. I don't know. Just stuff like
she
that.
She wasn't famished.
No, you know what girls like? They like another piece of onion.
There you go. Here's a piece of onion. Okay, they loved it. They loved it. I didn't. Anyway, there you go. Draw your own conclusion. We will take a break and come back with some election advice from Mike O'Mara right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
There's a lot at stake this fall. The question to ask yourself, are you better off now with your football picks than you were 4 years ago?
Listen up, Bermuda boy.
There's only one clear choice, and it's on the Nikki Diamond platform.
I got your stimulus package right here, baby.
Listen this Thursday and every Thursday to the Mike O'Mara Show for Nikki's plan to help you achieve financial prosperity.
These picks are gold.
This year, the choice is simple. Football winnings in your pocket.
Nikki Diamond's about to take you to the promised land.
Listen and win. Paid for by the People for Diamond 2020.
God bless America.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. I'm going to hold something up for you.
What do you think there it is? Look at that.
Let me show you this. It's called the Theragun, ladies and gentlemen. This, I'm not sure if you've noticed lately, but these are stressful times, ladies and gentlemen. Whether you're an elite athlete or just a regular guy trying to get through the day, muscle pain, muscle tension, they're real things. I cannot begin to describe to you how incredible this device is for muscle pain, for muscle tension. I use Theragun. It's phenomenal. Let me turn it on for you right now and show you how spectacular this thing is. Can you see it moving right there?
Look at that.
Ladies and gentlemen, is called percussive therapy. And you might say I'm using this on my hand as demonstration. No, I'm using this like I normally do after a round of golf.
Oh, look at you.
Where being the old guy I am,
my joints
are killing me. And it makes my hands feel so good. And this thing, by the way, you hear that? You don't hear it.
No.
It's as quiet as an electric toothbrush. The all-new Gen 4 Theragun has a proprietary brushless motor that is so quiet you'll wonder if it's even on. You soothe your aching muscles with Theragun's signature power, amplitude, and effectiveness. I've never felt anything more powerful. It is so wonderful. Now, I really want you to try this. This is worth it. This is a spectacular piece of equipment. The Theragun, you can try it for 30 days. No substitute for the Theragun Gen 4 with an OLED screen, personalized Theragun app, and the quiet and power you need. It starts at only $199. Go to Theragun.com/TMOS right now and get your Gen 4 Theragun today. That's the Theragun.com. I'm sorry, that's Theragun.com/TMOS. You won't believe the way this thing feels. I have to put it down because if I keep it here, I will have this thing on for the duration of the show. Also got a little the old plantar's fasciitis in the left foot after I play golf. Mm-hmm. I use my percussive therapy on it with Theragun, and it's spectacular. It's got a lot of different attachments on it, and it is so.
And the app is great. You can actually you can control it from the app. You can control it from your phone using Bluetooth. It's so neat. So neat.
I love it. Welcome back to the show. Whoa, whoa. Little tip for those of you that might be partisans, either side. Mm-hmm. This is my request to you. This is what I'm going to do. The morning of the election, ladies and gentlemen,
November 3rd.
I am going out. I have been showing the colors with a little bumper sticker on both of our automobiles for my favorite team. And I'm here to tell you that the morning of the election, my wife. Hello. Just doing partisan, a show. I know
partisan
you're,
dogs, Mike.
She's back working. I will tell you this. The morning of the election, I am going out to my automobiles, and I will be peeling off both stickers. And that is my symbolic way of saying that win, lose, draw, in between, it's over. These divisive times are over, and I just hope that somehow, obviously I hope for my own team.
Of course.
But... you know, the battle is over.
Who's your
and
team
I'm
again?
Tired of it.
The Giants.
I'm on Team Green Party. No.
Don't split the boat, Mike. What the hell?
Yeah, come on,
it
man.
It has truly, truly been nuts. I've found
nuts to butts.
It's been crazy. I isn't everybody exhausted? Isn't everybody ready for
I'm
this?
I'm not, Mike. You know why? Because we have to persevere. We have to not take anything for granted. If you're riding Biden like I am, yes, I said it.
You follow Kamala?
You gotta. Don't take it for granted. Go out and vote. You gotta vote.
You know what? Absolutely.
You gotta fight.
Of course.
And then when it's done, we move on.
Well, yeah, but you guys are giving the same message, really, which is that, you know, we're all going to get out there. We're all going to vote. We got to vote because it's important. It's the most important election probably of our lifetimes. But you got to. Then move on, and that's okay.
So, and I get that, and I see what you're saying, Mike. But I had a similar epiphany. I've had it for
weeks
now.
I'm peeling up the bumper stickers, gentlemen, because A, if my guy wins, I don't want to gloat, and I want to have a
after
brick
you're
thrown
done.
Through my
after you're done,
yes.
After the election, right? Nowhere. You're not peeling it off any time before then. Yes.
The morning of the election, it goes off the card.
Okay. Oh, wow. I thought after the victory.
No, the morning of the election, because he doesn't want to gloat, and also resale value.
I'm actually getting my car detailed that day, so I don't want to
ruin
them.
If the Biden team wins, I don't want to gloat, and if the president is reelected, I'll be selling all of my possessions.
Yeah. You're going to have to.
So that's what it's going to be.
Mike, I think a lot of people are in the same boat you are. But as I told Shannon, I was like, look, we just got to dig deep. We got to have a positive attitude for the next, 8 days now.
Yep.
And anyone we talk to, when they're feeling down, bring them up and say, make sure you get out to the polls. Or if you voted, you're out there.
Right.
What are you around the country? What are you, up there in D.C.? I'm down here in the great state. What are you seeing? What are you feeling? I got the suburbs of Virginia with Rob Spiewak. We got downtown, one of the major cities of America, in Washington, D.C. with Oscar Santana. What's in the wind, boys? What can you tell me?
I'll tell you this. As I traveled to the Eastern Shore, it was a color-changing experience as far as signage and bumper stickers. And by the time I got deep into the far southeastern part of this state, it is a lot of Trumping going on.
A lot of hump
there.
For Trump?
Yeah, a lot of it. A lot of it. Mm. But I'm feeling a definite Biden curve in the northern precincts up here. But it was like going through Easton and Cambridge all the way down. It was like a subtle fade. Mm-hmm. It all changed. Yep.
So true. Yep.
Robbie Spiewak went to town. Robbie Spiewak left his town. Robbie Spiewak left the county. Went down to the southern county. There we go. We got the sign. Trump. Got a flag. Got a t-shirt. Got a hat.
But I did notice one thing that was a change. Is on the border of Maryland and Virginia, because to get to the Eastern Shore, you actually go into Maryland and then back into Virginia. So when I'm crossing from Maryland into Virginia, there used to be a rest stop there called Dixieland. And it was right on the border. And their logo, Mike, was a huge, huge Confederate flag. And now, because times are changing, it's still called Dixieland, but there's a tarp over the flag. So I guess that's a step.
May I add this, that I'm hoping that, especially these last few days, the last 2 weeks, and I'm a firm believer that if you're a Republican registered, that doesn't mean you have to vote for the Republican candidate for president. You just don't have to.
Right.
And I believe that there's so many people in this country that are really have been touched or affected by the pandemic that they're going to remember when they walk up to the polls how things could have been different. And there's an administration that frankly didn't take this head on, and they now seem to have given up on any sort of, containing this this disease and this virus.
Hasn't our boy grown up, Rob Spiewak? Hasn't he
really
grown up?
Has.
I'm so proud
really
of him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm so proud of him. I mean, 5 years ago, this man would not have been talking like this.
Well, no, 5 years ago, he would like be talking. He would say, "Vote for Jimmy Fallon," because he would have said 5 years ago.
There you go. Yes, sir.
He will remember.
But to be fair, Mike, the president did a great job on damage control on 60 Minutes last night. He came out looking great.
Oh, God. Wow. We're done here.
We're done. Oh,
by the way, and here's a fake prop of my health plan.
That's right. Yes, and then Pence comes out and says, "The president tends to say what's on his mind."
Yeah. Hey, they love them down here, boys.
My God.
Unbelievable.
Yeah,
we'll take
go.
A break. Come back with news you may not need right here on the Mike O'Meara Show.
Hey, humans, it's me again.
Dog.
Winslow, the Boston Terrier. One of the worst things about being a dog is that I can't talk. It's wicked hard. Not only does it make it impossible to ask for treats, it also prevents me from being a TMOS talking head. Imagine how fun it would be to sit down on a Friday morning, hop on your Zoom, and shoot the shit with TMOS. That would be a wicked pisser. I can't do that because I'm a dog, but you can. Just email your info to rob@mikeomerishow.com with your contact info and why he should choose you. And if you're wondering how a dog that can't talk can voice a promo, don't overthink it, okay? Hey, Tom Brady, how you liking Tampa? Woof.
Thank you, Winslow. Appreciate that. Welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show, brought to you by MyBookie. Big news, folks. Winning season is back at MyBookie.
Yeah.
At MyBookie, winning season means the NFL is in full swing, and it's your chance to win big. There is no sweeter feeling than watching your team come back in the fourth to win the game. Did you put that in there for me? Did you put that in there for me?
I've got something special for you in the audio vault today, Mike.
Oh, God. Hey, they covered the spread. Thank you, my bookie.
They always do, but they just can't win.
Put cash in my pocket, and you can get cash, too. Whether you're a first-time player, a veteran to the game, taking underdogs, or siding with the favorites, the fact is there's no better time to get in on the action. Join now using our promo code TMOS. And you can grab a free $20 wager with your first deposit to bet on anything in the sportsbook. That's a free $20 bet. MyBookie is giving you the chance to make your first ever winning bet, and it's on the house. Nothing beats NFL action, and absolutely nothing beats free money.
Free money!
So join now and take advantage. Don't even think about it. Just head over to MyBookie now and get in the game. That's winning season, baby! And right now, exclusively at MyBookie. Get in on the action, and we thank you, my bookie.
News.
Nuz.
Boo. Arnold Schwarzenegger. He underwent heart surgery and things last week at the Cleveland Clinic Medical Center in Ohio. In an Instagram post on Friday, he said, "I have a new aortic valve to go along with my new pulmonary valve from my last surgery. I feel fantastic. And I have already been walking the streets of Cleveland, enjoying your amazing statues."
He likes statues.
Thanks to you.
Are there any other cultures, Mike, that enjoy statues?
Thanks to every doc and nurse on my team. The pulmonary valve surgery he mentioned was 2 years ago, and he had the same procedure back in 97. So he's getting a
so he got a new valve. Erotic valve?
Another erotic valve. Yes, right. It works great on the refrigerator and things. That's it. I'm sorry, the washing machine. When President Trump got into the Marine One helicopter on Thursday, this could be total BS, but it's just funny to read this story. When he was heading to the debate in Nashville, his wife, Melania, was with him. Or was she? In a picture that's been circulating, shocker, on the internet all weekend, it clearly looks like the woman with Trump is a fake Melania. These are my favorite stories.
Oh, my God. I saw this. I was like, this cannot be real.
Mm-hmm. The real Melania did appear with her husband after the debate, but as they walked off stage, she refused to hold his hand again. She pulls away almost violently. I've seen that. I have not seen the picture of Melania getting on the helicopter, so I don't know.
I saw a close-up look, and then I saw and this is not me. This is not Oscar looking for fake news.
Right.
This is, I am not on some Reddit thread that's going to tell me things that I want to hear. I literally saw this on my feed on Google News, as Mike is reading right now, and I said, is this a real story? They think a body double's traveling with the president?
But there's been talk of fake Melanias for a while, hasn't there?
Here's the one thing about Melania. This is a fact. She has not been on the campaign trail. She's made limited appearances with him at the big events, and it's just fascinating.
Well, she doesn't go unless there's a chance of a super spreader thing going on. That's when she shows up.
I don't know what's going on. Let's get back to sports. The Atlanta Falcons keep finding new ways to lose, and yesterday they did it by scoring a touchdown. The Falcons were down 14-16 to the Detroit Lions with just over a minute left. I watched this on the red zone. But they were down at the Lions' 10-yard line and had a first and goal. So it's easy. They should have run some time off the clock so the Lions couldn't get the ball back and then kicked a short field goal to secure the win. But that's not what happened. The Falcons called a running play to kill some time, but running back Todd Gurley burst through the defense and charged toward the end zone. At the last second, Gurley remembered that he shouldn't score so soon. It was that guy, Arthur Blank. Is that the owner of the Falcons?
I think. Yes.
Sitting there watching him with his hands on his hips. So he tried to fall down before crossing the goal line, but he couldn't. Lions players even celebrated when Gurley scored, which is weird. Then the Lions got the ball back, marched down the field, and scored the game-winning touchdown with 0 seconds left.
What's tough about Arthur Blank is he's like an imposing figure on the sidelines because he's tall. He's a titan of industry and businessman. Right.
Home Depot. He dresses like a rich guy.
Yes. Mm-hmm. With the mask, he looks like Dracula. So it's tough. Or really, not Dracula. It's Count Chocula.
Right.
And I remember, and I said, oh my God, can you imagine looking back at your owner and being like, is that Arthur Blank or Count Chocula?
He's going to bite me in the neck if I lose. It's scary. But anyhow, moving right along. Just when you were pretty sure you tried every possible pumpkin-flavored product, here comes a new one you've never thought of. There's always a new one. They go crazy with this. The newest random product that someone spotted on sale is pumpkin pie milk.
It's gross.
It's made by, I don't know this convenience store, Rutter's. Anyone ever hear of Rutter's? Is that West Coast?
No. That's
DD
definitely...
or TT?
It's R-U-T-T-E-R-S.
Rutter's.
Rutter's.
Pennsylvania, Maryland, and West Virginia. So they've got
it
in Maryland.
I've never seen it.
Oh, we have to have somebody find it.
A rusty Rutter.
Find it for us.
Not that.
There's no word on how it tastes, but I would love to have a tasting if we could find it.
I bet how it tastes. Like crap.
Delicious. Very nice.
My pumpkin.
All right, we love these state surveys they have. These are the 10 states that talk about politics the most.
Oh, here we
go. Ready for
this? Can't wait.
It might surprise you. Rhode Island at the top of the list. Iowa, Arkansas, Delaware, Utah, Wisconsin, Alabama, Indiana, South Carolina, and Virginia.
Ooh.
Virginia made the list.
We got a signal in Iowa.
The 10 states where you're least likely to talk politics at work: Nebraska, it's wide
That's
open
nice.
Country. Who cares?
Mm-hmm.
Montana, big sky, beautiful. South Dakota, the Great West, out in the West.
The Great West. Why would people deal with that?
Anyway, North Dakota. See, they're
We're
all
done here.
Idaho,
the
Washington.
Dakotas.
Dakotas,
open space. Oregon. Well, here's Georgia. They don't talk about politics in Georgia. I would think they do. Well, and no, in Ohio, I would think they do.
They're all in the hospital.
And because Mississippi is on everyone, Mississippi is on every crap list. Mississippi doesn't talk about it.
They talk about COVID. That's what they talk about.
I think the closest runners to us is Walkersville, Maryland, and they got gas for $1.98 for regular right now.
well, we won't be sending any of our staff out there.
Runners.
I'm trying to turn over new leaf. Be nicer to the staff. No one has to drive out to get pumpkin spice milk.
Pumpkin milk.
And now a little something something. 28-year-old James Fleurant from Vero Beach, Florida, called 911 around 1:45 a.m. on Friday to report something serious.
Oh.
He said he was, quote, seeing aliens, little ones, flying low to the ground. And he thought police should take care of the aliens. But if they didn't, and this is where he went wrong, on 911 on his call, he said he would have to, quote, go Independence Day on them.
Oh, dear. No, no.
In other words, he'd take them out himself.
That's
the cops came out, but they didn't see the little aliens, but they did see James, and he was arrested. And I figured, what better way to start the week back with a new Florida slogan?
A slogan for the state?
This is a slogan they can put on license plates. Here we go.
Okay.
Florida, we didn't invent crazy. We just gave it a warm place to grow. There we go. Florida. We'll take a break. Come back with the audio of Alderman Rob Spiewak right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present a creature?
You're a monster.
You're a monster. Right.
So I'm a monster.
We're not monsters.
That's scary stuff, isn't it?
You're the monster. No, you were built this way, young lady.
You incredible, soulless prick.
Come over here, you hot monster.
But I'm
a monster, Rob. He's a monster. That's absolutely what he is.
Oh, my God. Is this you calling me a monster?
You're a monster.
If you don't have a Mike O'Mara Show bonus subscription, you're a monster. Your blood will run cold with the fear of missing out on the frighteningly funniest hour of TMOS. Every week, uncut, uncensored, undead.
It's alive!
Save yourself by ordering a TMOS bonus subscription by clicking the bloody banner at MikeOmarashow.com. The power of Christ compels you.
You're an inhuman monster.
I said good day.
Twitch.
Yes, another Twitch offering.
Twitch, I'm going to tell you something, Twitch. As Twitch continues to do the job of Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak and lazier men that just don't choose to do anything, I will say, dude, I was a production director. That was my first job in major market radio. Twitch, you are good at your job, my friend.
Very good.
You are really, really good at that. And anytime you need any letter of recommendation, you got it from me. Well done. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Movement.
Yes.
Here's a fact. If you want to look your best, you like this?
Oh,
pretty. Look at that.
That looks great.
That is.
Like that.
Yeah. Hi, Mike. Why don't you come to rehearsal? Hold on. I'm going to hold up my Movement. Watch it.
It does look great on your wrist. Look at that.
Yeah, it does.
I just want to hold it up so you can see the weight
of
that.
Nice.
That is my Movement watch.
Elegant.
There it is. Movement watch. Isn't that a beauty? That
is
a beautiful timepiece. Listen, Movement was founded on the belief that style should not break the bank. Here's a true story. The company was started by two broke college kids. They couldn't afford stylish watches, so they started their own watch company, Movement.
Yep.
Classic design, quality, and construction. Movement gets better and better and better. They're phenomenal. They have almost 2 million watches sold in over 160 countries, and they deserve their success. I got this wonderful Ion silver watch and the Ritual sunglasses, which my wife stole from me.
Right away.
Yeah, they have cool shades, too. Carla loves hers. Watches start at $95. You'd be looking at $400 at a department store for the same watch. Trust Movement. Get 15% off today with free shipping and free returns by going to movement.com/TMOS. That's MVMT.com/TMOS. Movement's launching new styles on their site all the time. Check out their latest at MVMT.com. Go to movement.com/TMOS and join the movement, ladies and gentlemen. Now, without further ado, let's open up the audio vault and get Rob Spiewak in here. Take it away, Rob. I hope you're not bleeding.
Mike, you know, EDM is so hot right now. Electronic dance music. Everybody loves it. It's all I listen to. And there is a group called Tiki Lau, and they dropped a track over the weekend. It's called Mike Tyson. And you know who's the vocalist on it?
Mike Tyson?
Mike Tyson!
I'm Mike Tyson. I'm Mike Tyson. Lend me your ears or I will eat them all.
So hack.
And what's great about this is...
I thought it would be so much worse.
It doesn't sound like any other EDM record.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm Mike Tyson.
What's your name?
Yeah. I'm Mike Tyson.
We're missing a key ingredient.
I'm Mike
If you're
Tyson.
Rolling on E,
yes.
This will get you through the night.
Sure, sure. That music sounds like Red Bull and vodka, doesn't it?
I'm on Mike Tyson.
Mike, I said I'd have a little treat for you in the audio vault.
Yes.
Congratulations to Giants quarterback Daniel Jones.
Oscar,
for setting a record.
Oh my God.
He set a record. It was the longest run ever by a Giants quarterback. Did you know that?
I did not know.
Yards.
It also symbolized the Giants season better than any single
the
play ever.
The longest stumble as well.
It didn't end well.
Guys are. 12, Jones keeps, gets a block. Down and he tripped himself.
This is the only way he doesn't score. That old turf monster got him right about there.
Turf monster. Yeah.
I had a great line. One of my buddies that I play golf with said to me, he was tripped up by the 30-yard line. Oh, speaking of
golf, we
didn't get to anything on the show today. Tomorrow we'll have Rob leaving the county for the first time in 10 years. Also, Oscar dealing with his historical society.
Yeah.
And I have a sweet, sweet golf story that I think will bring tears to your eyes, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Good news for the Dodgers is they did win last night in the World Series game, but it wasn't so great on Saturday night. Did you see the end of the game
this
on Saturday
was
night?
Wild.
I did not.
Mike, this is why people that like hate, I guess, not having their team in the postseason. This is why you live for the World Series when stuff like
absolutely.
This happens.
It Dodger was. It looked like, as Robert described it, a Little League disaster. Here is the coverage from TV and also from Tampa Radio.
And that's piped in sound, right?
One of the most unlikely endings.
There is a crowd there.
World Series game.
Not a social distance crowd,
but it has to be. The sound has to be.
It's got to be.
You know, I'm a Floridian. I got to support the Rays down here. What? Where does the series stand right now?
Oh, it's now 3-2.
3-2.
And the next game's tomorrow night.
It's 3-2 Dodgers.
3-2 Dodgers.
Yes. The winning run by Tampa in that clip I just played. He was on the ground. Stopped short from sliding because of the possible tag that was about to happen. But when the catcher dropped the ball, he crawled forward and touched the base like he was hitting an It's So Easy button in a commercial for Office Max.
I'm
crazy.
So messed up with sports during the pandemic. It's not funny. It's just a weird time. I sit there and wallow in my Giants misery every weekend. That's the only joy I have is watching my Giants up another football game.
This is how
cover the spread.
This is how great your Rays are doing, Mike. Your Tampa Bay Rays.
Yes.
Is that their payroll compared to the Dodgers' payroll clearly is outmatched. Mm-hmm. They're outmatched.
Well, the Rays are the only team that pay by the hour.
They are outmatched by the Dodgers. Their story this season has become so prolific within baseball fans that Moneyball has for the first time hit the top 10 trending on Netflix because people are looking back at that scheme. Like, how do you build a team like this?
Smart movie.
Great movie.
Yeah.
Yep. Very smart fantastic movie.
Mike, when I say LaFleur County, it almost sounds like a Florida county, but it's Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. And this story sounds like a Florida story, but it's an Oklahoma story. Apparently, there was a couple of cannibals that were arrested, not for being cannibals, but for being performing an illegal operation. And the weird thing here is the cannibals forged an agreement with a third party, and he agreed to let them do this operation, but it was not legal. And when they discovered the remnants of the operation, that's when they arrested the two alleged cannibals.
We did find evidence to crimes being committed and maybe surgeries being performed inside the residence.
What area of the body that the victim was injured?
It would be the male private area. It is something that we have never in my career run across.
So it was an illegal castration, but the guy agreed to be castrated, and they found the evidence in the freezer with the intention of eating it. So that's what's going on in Oklahoma, okay.
Oh my God. I am literally getting
right next to the Jimmy
right
Dean
here.
Sausages.
Right next to the Uncrustables.
My God. Oh, that is so nasty.
Where the wind comes sweeping down the plane.
All right. Let me see if I get this straight. So a guy, it's surgery. He doesn't die.
No,
they
just castrated him and he agreed to it.
And eat his.
Yeah.
Well, for later. They're not barbarians. They're not going to eat it there.
Oh. Although I bet.
Save it for later.
I'm guessing it was sort of a one for me and one for you situation.
Hell yeah. My God. That's so nasty.
Gross.
You guys are tougher than I am. You laugh at Borat. I'm getting queasy in my old age.
You serve them over pasta? I don't know. It's all about presentation.
Al dente?
That was the guy's name.
All right. I'm going to throw up. Stop. Please stop.
All right. That's your magic audio vault. Have a good Monday, everybody.
Jeez. Oh, all right. I gotta go throw up.
Oh, that's Mike. That's a LaFleur County, Oklahoma.
Man, how y'all doing? That don't look like any bratwurst I've ever seen.
Anyway,
I know who they're gonna vote for.
Yeah, yes, sirree. Make sausage great again. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody, for Rob Spiewak. And hey, great to be back. Very much. We appreciate that. And for Oscar Santana and Rob Spiewak, Mike O'Mara saying, so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeO'MaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
That was a hot mess inside a dumpster fire. Inside a train wreck.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
It's done, Joe. They packed your things. They're loading your car.
Well, bye.